And welcome once again as we are back to school in St. Mary's. It's day two. We're in the cafeteria, and we're going to get right into it today. We have a couple of great guests, the principals of the primary and intermediate school. Sue Sherman is the K-2 principal. Amanda Wendell is grade 3-5 principal. And Sue, good to see you. Nice to have you on again.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Let's start, if you would, to share with us how long you've been in your position and what you enjoy so much about it.
Well, this is my 33rd year in education. I've been in administration about 20 of those years. So it's just been a fantastic journey.
What is it about, you know, the K-12, you know, grades that you enjoy? Obviously, those are the really little ones, and I'm sure there's a lot of joyous enthusiasm, and you're watching them grow up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I always tell people I have the best job in the world because I work with the happiest people in the world, the kindergartners, first and second graders. Want to be in school, love to be in school. They love everything about it. And so to be a part of that is really a privilege.
Let's also talk about, you know, how long you've been doing this and how things have really changed over the years, you know, for you as principal.
You know, some things change, but a lot of things don't. There's been a lot of procedures and policy changes over the years through the Ohio Department of Education, and we've seen ups and downs in that area, but really the kids are the same. That is one thing that has stayed constant over the years.
All right. And for you, I wanted to kind of give you a chance also to talk about, you know, you kind of have a new thing going on, the new program that both you and Amanda were talking about, and that's something we'd like to hear about.
Okay. So a few years ago, the state initiated more science of reading. We've learned a lot more about the science behind how kids learn how to read. And because of that, we need to change our teaching practices. So it's been a learning curve because those of us who went to college 10, 15, 20 years ago, that was not part of our education. So we've been going through a complete retraining of our staff over the last couple years.
All right. And I would love to hear about, you know, what they're learning that is different than before, especially like how kids read differently. That's pretty interesting.
Right, and it's not that they read differently, it's how we instruct them how to read. So we have learned that we have to do more explicit and systematic instruction, which just means that they need to be taught phonics in a very sequential step, step by step, very explicitly by their teacher.
They're very interesting, and certainly we have to understand, too, as years go by, things do change, right? I mean, the world, the kids are coming of age in a different world, different environment.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of outside influences these days with students, definitely more screens available to them. And so we're competing sometimes with that instant gratification that screens sometimes provide kids. So we've had to change the way we've taught over the last several years.
And how's that been going? Are the kids responding well?
Yeah, I mean, I think they really enjoy it. It is a change of pace for them. We sometimes still have to work with attention spans a little bit, being a little bit shorter than maybe they used to be. And maybe that's just my own perception, but we've done a few things in the district to try to really promote reading. Our Writers Are Readers program has really tried to emphasize the importance of learning to read and how we each and every one of us need it in everyday life.
I was going to say that's an important thing, right, to learn to read, but also to write.
Mm-hmm.
One might think that one's the same as the other, right? You know how to read, you should be able to write just fine, mm-hmm. If only it were that easy. Right?
If only it were that easy, but we do know from research that if you are a good writer, you are definitely a good reader. It is much harder to be a writer than a reader.
Not only that, you talked about attention spans, and also we talk about how things have changed. When we were growing up, we won't say what, you know, decade that was, of course, right? So we'll leave it alone. But suffice it to say, in the era in which we came of age, certain things like LOL were not in our vocabulary. There was no internet shorthand. Some of us knew how to use a typewriter, and that was about it. Really.
That's right. Yes, I took keyboarding classes in high school, although we didn't call it keyboarding. You know, we called it typing. But now we have keyboarding as early as second grade now.
I still remember the teacher saying, okay, hands on the home keys, please.
Mm-hmm.
Thumbs on the...
Yes, and we still use home keys. We still try to teach kids the correct way and the quickest way to be a typer because they are definitely using it in their everyday life.
And they will appreciate it, you know, when when you first start, you have the two fingers typing or whatever. You're a lot better when you no longer have to even look. I think it really helps.
Absolutely, yes. Relying on all your fingers versus two is much quicker.
So you can tell us, what got you into education? Tell us a bit about your early life and kind of your career that got you to be school.
Okay, so when I went to school, I wasn't exactly sure what I should be, and my mom said I would make a good teacher, but I didn't want to listen to my mom, you know, being of that age. So I gave my first year of college a try and tried some different subjects. And then I went home for the summer and I said, you know what, maybe I should listen to my mom. And, she was right.
That's terrific. Now, obviously, when you start in education, you don't get to be the principal exactly right away, right? There's probably a ladder you climb, right?
Correct. I was a special education teacher in, junior high, McBroom Junior High, back in the day for about 10 years. I worked with 7th, 8th, and 9th graders. During that period of time, and then I took a role as a special education supervisor and started to work with the elementary age kids, and then I moved into full-time administration.
All right. Over the years, too, I'm sure you certainly enjoy seeing kids go on and things, and I would imagine sometimes you're out and about doing your thing, and then somebody comes up to you and says, remember me? You're trying to get that, right?
It does. It happens quite a bit. And I have had so many students walk through my doors over the last 33 years. It's hard to keep track of them, but it warms my heart whenever they feel that they can come over and say hi to me. I mean, I may not recognize their face immediately because they've changed so much, but I love talking to them post primary school.
That is pretty neat. And also, the thing about, you know, perhaps being a principal for cases through two, I mean, generally speaking, if they do have to come to your office, they're probably not in that much trouble, right? They're little ones, you know?
Right. They're little, they're learning, and it's a great time to have a good conversation with a student to, you know, try to figure out the why. Our little guys can't always express with words why they're doing what they're doing, but there's always a reason. So it's always kind of like a little puzzle that my staff and I have to put together to figure out what's going on.
And finally, also, I'm amazed also at what is now expected from kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
I recall my kindergarten was half a day, and I think they were happy if it didn't, fall asleep or whatever. But
right.
The goals were not that high back then.
Yeah, back then the focus was really on social interaction, being with your peers, learning how to get along, take turns, play together. But, you know, we've evolved, we've changed, and our academics are certainly a much bigger part of our kindergarten curriculum, especially with preschool. Most of our students, I'd say 80% of our students, do go to some preschool programming, and so they're already exposed to a lot of those social skills. So not that we don't work on that, we certainly do. It's a big part of our program, but the academics have taken a much larger role.
That's pretty neat, actually. And also, again, like with the all-day, right? And they're handling it fine, right?
Yes. We've been an all-day, everyday kindergarten since 2000. So we were kind of ahead of the game in the area, going all day. And that was a big, big game changer. It allowed the teachers the time to instruct in the academics. I wouldn't know how we would do it today if we were a half-day program.
No question. I appreciate getting to talk with you. Let's talk with Amanda Wendell, who's a intermediate principal. That's grade 3 through 5. Amanda, can you tell us, first of all, how long, you know, you've been, the intermediate principal, and what got you into wanting to be a principal?
So I'm Amanda Wendell. I'm the principal at the intermediate school, and a fun story is that I wanted to go into education actually because of a past teacher they had here at St. Mary's. She's currently a board member. Her name is Rhonda Shelby, and it's really fun because she was supportive of me as a kid, and now she's still supportive of me as an educator. She comes into our building and checks on our kids. So I've been at St. Mary's now for 3 years. It's really nice to be home and see some familiar faces and actually have the kids of some people that I graduated with and walking through our halls. So that's always a fun interaction. But I do get to see, it's fun to see Rhonda Shelby or one of our board members. She'll come in. We have a really big push this year for Writers Are Readers. That was a theme we had last year. And this year we're talking about how we are rough writers, so writing. But Rhonda comes in. We have book clubs and we're really trying hard also with the science of reading to help kids find a love for reading. Not to just read for a grade or because the teacher said so, but we want kids to pick up books in their spare time and read so they can become lifelong learners.
Which is certainly great, a lifelong learner emphasis on that, right? Because it doesn't end after school. At least you hope not, right?
No, we don't want that. And Something that we're doing is trying to have the kids read together and asking the teachers to provide time to read. Some of our teachers have really picked up on the idea of book clubs. So we have quite a few teachers in our building who are organizing clubs within their classroom where kids find peers. They read together. It's fun. They talk about their books. But then they're also finding community members. A lot of them are past retired teachers, like Rhonda, who are coming in and they're reading with our kids. They're touching base with the kids. They're finding out what's going on in their books, and the kids are looking forward to it, and our community members looking forward to it, and it's just been a great success for us.
Also, let's talk about, the age of the kids you get, that third through fifth grade, obviously, not kindergartners, not anymore, and so, you're kind of starting to see them not exactly grown up yet by any means, but nonetheless, they're getting older. They're getting the school thing down. Right. They're used to coming to school. Now they're in that third grade and what have you. So it sounds like that'd be a fun age.
Like Sue said, I'm super honored to be able to be at St. Mary's City Schools and to just get to work with the kids, because the kids are fun. Every day is an adventure. And we never know what's going to happen, but it's just a fun, I like to say it's a moldable age. If they're really listening, they're very impressionable. And it's important for us to set the bar high so that they can achieve all that they possibly can.
I was going to also ask you about, how they kind of get those foundational skills in that K through 12 time. But now, you talked about, learning to read, learning to write, and now, you're starting to see where, they can kind of write their own stories, their own papers. I mean, they're really putting it to use. I can imagine where this is, where it's all starting to come together.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun for us, and I think very beneficial for the kids that we've been working with Sue over at the primary building. And trying to connect our second grade to our third grade teachers so that we can build upon all of the strengths that they've already accomplished to then mend them over to the intermediate. So our science of reading PD, our teachers have learned together with the primary, and we're excited about that bridge.
Pretty neat. And also, talking about some of the things that are coming up that are new. I know education is ever-changing, right? I'm sure you're probably doing things this year you didn't do last year.
Yeah, we are always, I feel like we're always learning. Our teachers have been learning together, so that's a really big, I feel like, important opportunity for teachers to have time to learn, ask questions, and just do PD together as a team versus on their own. So we've been trying to find opportunities for that to give to our teachers.
All right, and perhaps you can also briefly talk about the life of a principal. I'm sure it's not what people think it is,
I really like the life as a principal because every day is an adventure. And our teachers, we're very fortunate that I tell people often that our teachers come to school because they love the kids, and that's what's important. They're not checking in and checking out. They're there putting in extra and going above and beyond, and meeting the kids at an individual level. We have a student service coordinator. Her name is Laura Koenig. And basically her job is she helps kids if we notice that a kid is struggling academically, socially, behaviorally. She meets with the teacher, meets with myself. We bring the families in as a team, and we talk about how can we help the student. So we're trying to meet the kids at all kinds of different levels, never knowing what might happen, and every kid has different needs, and trying to meet with the families to help them.
Yeah, it seems growing up there were always those other kids. I was never one of them that grasped everything immediately. And then there were those of us that really needed to be told a few times. And you realize that there's really nothing wrong with us. It's just we learn at a different level, right? I mean, some of us are more visual. Some of us like to read first. So I bet that's a challenge for a teacher, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's a challenge for the teachers. And we're trying to provide supports so that we can meet all of our kids individually where they're at. So we can provide support, but then also making sure we're providing supports to push our higher-ended kids. We do have a gifted program. It's new to our building. This is our third year with this program. McKenna Mealy, she is our gifted teacher. It's coordinated through the Mercer County ESD. We do a pull-out math program, and that's been a great success for us, I think really helping challenge some of those higher-level kids that need a challenge.
I was going to say, without that challenge, if a gifted kid is in what we would call a regular classroom, they're going to get bored pretty quickly, right? You're not telling them things they don't already know.
We're trying to keep everybody busy in the right way. Yep.
Yeah, and for that, when you think about that one, I mean, just the grades, I mean, obviously there's a big difference between kindergarten and second grade, but third to fifth grade, I mean, there's some changes there. I can remember fifth grade was felt a lot different than the third grade. You were really starting to grow up. You're getting ready for middle school and all that, right?
Yeah, so our third grade classrooms are contained classrooms. They stay with their teacher all day long. And then our fourth and fifth grade, they rotate. So they go to a different teacher for each individual subject. Last night, we had the privilege that we're working with the city council. I have a fifth grade teacher who has worked really hard to write a grant to get a story trail installed out at Casey Geiger Park. And the city council invited our fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Goins, along with her students to come and present this opportunity and this idea to the city council at the Parks and Rec meeting. But it was exciting to watch the fifth graders because they're growing up. They're getting older. They took on their responsibility, and they're excited to see this possibility unfold.
Yeah, and you know, the city council listens to kids.
They were wonderful.
That's how
they got
how they got the splash pad pretty much,
yep.
right?
Yep.
If I remember correctly.
Yep.
So they do listen to you. And
what
could be better for kids than to know that, okay, we're not exactly grown up yet, but hey, they listen to us.
Yeah,
right?
They were, the kids were really excited because they were asking the kids questions. The kids were asking them questions. But we're excited to dive into this endeavor to see what can happen.
You know, sometimes I know people occasionally have negative things to say about kids, but after how many, you know, years of doing these back to school, meeting teachers, meeting kids, you just got to look, you know, and you'll see. I mean, today's kids, they're great, really.
We have great kids. Great kids, great families, good support.
That's for sure. And so I always like to say that as often as I can.
Yeah.
It's like you're not talking to the right kids if you think that, right?
Yeah.
No question. I want to thank both of you for being on. Certainly a pleasure to get to know building principals for primary and intermediate. We're going to take a break. And I do believe our next topic is going to be football as we continue on 96.7 The Wave.
If you want superior quality care for your hearing and balance needs, then you need to contact Family Audiology Associates. Hi, I'm Dr. Ellen Hunter, owner of Family Audiology. Let us use our state-of-the-art equipment and focus on your specific needs. Whether it is hearing loss, hearing instruments, or balance issues, my staff and I will give you the care that you and your family deserve. Family Audiology Associates is just a phone call away, and we would be honored to have you in our family. Family Audiology Associates, your hometown hearing expert.
TNT Auto Sales is a place to find your reliable pre-owned vehicle. TNT Auto Sales is a family-owned used car dealership with an honest approach to your car buying experience, specializing in vehicles under $20,000 with competitive pricing. TNT Auto Sales has a variety of vehicles to choose from to fit your budget and needs with fair trade-in values and financing available. Make your car buying experience easy by coming to TNT Auto Sales located on Route 66 in downtown St. Mary's. Check out TNT Auto Sales on Facebook to find your next vehicle.
We are in control of your radio dial.
It's the Afternoon Drive with me, Clay Roberts, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. on WCSM 96.7 FM. I bring you the latest in music, entertainment news, movies out at the box office. Sometimes we give away some prizes. And don't forget, at 5:30, we do bring you our news and information hour. Listen online at WCSMradio.com and with your smartphone or tablet with the TuneIn Radio app to the Afternoon Drive, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. on WCSM.
Welcome back here as we are at St. Mary's for back to school. We're going to switch gears and talk football. We're going to have a couple players in a minute, Terry and Borski and Toby Reineke. But, you know, I've got Coach Bo Fry with me. Coach, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Let's, you know, talk about what it is, you know, about, you know, football at St. Mary's, because obviously, you know, to play here, that there's a very long time tradition, right?
Yeah, tradition is a huge thing at St. Mary's. We have over 80 kids every season. Big thing in our school, there's a lot of pride on Fridays. There's a lot of pride from our kids that play, and there's a lot of pride from our school system.
One thing I noticed when I was heading this way down to the cafeteria was something on the wall that talked about every game has a theme.
Yeah, that's like a student section theme. I don't get too involved with that, but our kids, well, they show up, and they get excited, and obviously that's part of the school culture.
No question. Well, and I'm sure both, you know, as a one-time player and now a coach, I mean, the fans probably make more of a difference than we realize, right?
Yeah. When they're excited and they have energy, that definitely helps our guys go.
I was going to say, we all know sometimes when we follow our favorite team and they are at home and not playing very good, that you want to hear noise. But sometimes, like, you know, if you're not having a good game, it's like a wake, right? I mean, you don't get emotion out of the fans.
Yeah.
You got to do something to spark.
Yeah. It gets quiet at times when things aren't going well. But luckily, we have good people, and they know when it's good and they know when it's bad, and we're going to try to keep it going good.
Also is probably, it's pretty neat, too, because, the schools you play, they're not that far away. Your fans come with you. Maybe you're never truly on the road in that respect, right?
No, we travel well here in St. Mary's. I said there's a pride in this community for the game of football because of the traditions, because of what Skip Bachman built, because of what Doug Fry built. There's a lot of tradition here. The kids want to play, and people want to show up.
Let's also talk about, this is going to be week four.
Week five. Yeah.
And, so people understand, though, when does football start on the calendar? I mean, these guys could probably tell us about that. Like, when does practice start? Like, how early in the year are they starting to work out, exercise, get ready?
So it kind of never ends. When the season ends, we usually take about 3-4 weeks off, and then we're in the weight room 4 days a week in the morning, 5:45 in the morning. About the springtime, you start to get into some little things, passing stuff on Sundays, the state's allowed. And then the 1st of June, we're in practice. They give you 15 camp days, and we're in camp days, and wearing helmets and shirts. And we've been going since June 1st.
Now, another question about that, too, is when you get into the game, get into the season, I'm sure there are times where you see a great play or a tackle, and you realize, You earned that in the weight room, right? You earned that on the practice field, or a great offensive play. This is a team that you've been working on all year, right?
Most of your habits of your team are built in the off season, built in the weight room, built in those 5:45 mornings. The no quit attitude, the toughness. That's just not an overnight thing. That is it's a work in progress every day.
Now, you've brought a couple players with you here, and
yeah.
I want to start by talking with Terry. First of all, thanks for coming on. Talk to us. Tell us, what grade are you in? What position do you play?
I'm an offensive center, and I'm a senior in high school.
But have you been playing all, four years?
All 4 years, yes.
First of all, got you into football, and what made you pick that position?
Last year I played left tackle, and I was moved to center this year because our center graduated. So I just moved to where they needed me, and I improved, obviously. First year playing center, and I just keep getting better by the week.
All right, and for you, what plans do you have, beyond this year? You're going to still keep trying to play football? Do you have a career in mind?
If I could, I would, but if it's not given to me, I'll be an engineer and career.
All right, nothing wrong with that. It's a pretty good career, right? Excellent. And we're going to talk with Kobe again. He was here yesterday talking about a different matter, right? But share with us, what position do you play in football?
I play O tackle. For our offense, and I'm a senior.
Excellent. And you've been playing all 4 years?
Yes.
What got you into the game of football as you're growing?
Just the love that I have for that game. Just love being a physical kid. Just love being around my boys, being around it. Just the brotherhood we have here at St. Mary's is what I love about it.
Have you been able to stay injury-free, for your – have you been able to avoid injuries all your year?
My freshman year, I had a big knee surgery, but from then on, I've been here for the past 3 years. Yes, sir.
Awesome. Good for you. And I know we talked a bit about this yesterday, but, for your future plans, you're looking at sports medicine, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Yeah? Did that earlier mishap have something to do with that,
Yeah. Yep.
Excellent. Appreciate that. Let's talk with you, Coach, once again here. And here's a question I'd have for you also, Coach. I know a lot of times, the coaches front and center. That's who we generally want to talk to after a game. But I'm sure you can talk about your staff and how many people it really takes to run a football
game. We have 13 coaches on staff. And I'm very, very, very fortunate. My dad, my brother, Nick Yale runs my defense, and he was my best friend from high school. So I have a unique situation that most other guys don't have. As a lot of people say, don't go into business with friends and family, but these guys are my guys. So yeah,
that it's probably mentioned bond or people, like you said, you've known this guy for so long. I'm sure you're thrilled to have him, and he's glad to be working for you.
100%. It's hard to get loyal people in this business. Guys that really care about St. Mary's, really care about the kid, and really care about each other. And I think that leads to our brotherhood as teammates because our staff is so close. We're close to people. Do we fight? Do we argue all the time? I mean, that's just part of life. But we got a really good group of people.
You know, another thing I would add also when you talk about, you know, that lineage, the tradition, that I'm sure some of the players that are coming through, you know, for you now, like you might know their parents, right? Parents, if they have a dad, might have played for you, right?
Yeah, I love Kobe right here. His brother played quarterback for us. Three, four years ago now. So a lot of these kids have seen grew up in the process. And last year, a couple of the kids I graduated with their parents. You know what I mean? So I'm getting older, and I know a lot of their parents.
Yeah, that's both kind of a neat thing, and also a where's the time go thing, right?
Yeah. It makes you look in the mirror and realize, man, time's going fast.
Yeah, speaking of that too, I mean, getting ready, you know, for week 5. Kind of hard to believe, or, you know, 5 games into the season. Who do you guys have this week?
We play Ottawa Glandorf here at home. We dropped the last 2, so we need to get back on the winning track.
And that's another thing I was going to ask, too, when you're talking to your team. I'm sure you kind of mentioned them. Hey, those games are over. We got a game this week, right? You just, whatever you have to do to make them understand that's the past. Don't let it beat you again, right?
No, you try to keep moving forward in this game. If you dwell too far on the past, then you're never going to go forward.
This is kind of a big Friday coming up, right? Because it's also the alumni night, if I remember correctly.
Yeah,
right?
Hall of Fame weekend. But we have a big deal and behind us here in the school in the cafeteria, Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So obviously, they use football as the bridge gate to get the community to see who they're inducting. So it's good for the school that many people come to games and been able to see who's being inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Another thing also, you know, where you play, obviously it's one of the newer, you know, facilities in the WBL. I'm sure you probably get a lot of compliments on it, you know, from when other, you know, schools come down to play. So, you know, share with us that. I mean, because, you know, obviously for you growing up, I mean, you played at a different stadium, right?
Yeah, we played at Skip Boxing Stadium downtown, and it was pretty old and decrepit at that point. But yeah, this is a new area, a new place, and a new tradition, and it's still a work in progress. It's not done. I mean, the main pieces are there, but it still needs to be finished in some love and then some areas.
Yep, and you get there, right? I'm sure from the fans' perspective, as long as they have a place to sit, food to get, they're happy, right?
That is the number one part of the process. But there's still plans to keep moving with the place.
What are some of those plans?
I'm not privy to all the information, but I know they still have to finish the parking lot. They still have to. They've talked about putting in a weight room out there and building indoors and that sort of jazz. But could that happen tomorrow? Or could that happen in 30 years? I don't know if I'll be here to see it.
Well, and sometimes I think you just have to get something going, right? And then you add those things as you can. Mm-hmm. If you wait to try to do it all at once, you'll never do it. Right?
You can't. Yes, exactly.
All right. Another thing also, you know, when you talk about competing, you know, in the WBL, obviously the competition is pretty high, right? A lot of good teams, and anybody can beat anybody in any given week, really.
For sure. This league is the best I've seen it in the last 10. From top to bottom, there isn't a bad team. And there's just such good coaching. I think it would be the big thing. So every week, you're on a grind to try to get the next one. So we gotta make sure that we're grinding in our own way.
Do you also, you know, obviously it's a small world. Do you know a lot of these coaches? You know?
Yeah, a lot of these coaches, a la Ken Schreiner, who's at OG, who we play this week. He's been at OG for 30 years. So Travis Moyer at Walpock, he's going year 11. A lot of the young guys are new, but I've gotten to know them because they're now on 3-4 years in the program. So, yeah, we run into each other at clinics. We run into each other in a lot of areas. So, yeah, I know most of them.
What also gets kind of interesting, too, is sometimes, you know, because of, like an alumni of one school marries into another family, you end up with family on both sides of the ball when you're watching the game.
Yeah, that happens a lot in the Salina St. Mary's matchup. My brother married a Salina girl. My wife's family is from Salina. So, I know that happens a lot in that one. I think there's some connections in the Walpaw St. Mary's too. But other than that, we're pretty connected here and pretty close knit that the Salina and St. Mary's and Walpaw, and those are the three areas.
I assume the in-laws understand you have a job to do, right?
Oh, yeah. They're St. Mary's people. It's their mom. It's your grandparents that they run a jewelry store over in Salina. So, it's, it's obviously a you make sure you win that one.
There you have it. There you have it. Also, what's also changed, I think, over the years is would be the playoffs, right? How it's kind of different to get in, right?
Yeah. 16-team playoff now, so you can go 4-6 to get in the playoffs, which has led to a lot of these lower, not want to say lower tier teams, but some of the back end of the league that weren't as good. Now that's giving them hope to keep playing into the season, and no one ever gives up on a season anymore.
That's true, and you know, I would imagine if you're a massive underdog, you've got nothing to lose, and you play like it, and that can get pretty interesting, right?
It could, yeah, and it's a big thing in this league, man. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough. That's why every week is a challenge.
Another thing I think I've noticed, too, is, you know, at least from years ago watching football, it doesn't seem like certain leagues are as safe as they used to be. You know, like if a team is down 14 points, for example, it's not over, you know?
Yeah. Depends on what you're doing on offense. There's everyone's playing pretty good offense anymore in every level of football. Kids want to throw the ball around and kids want to score. That's not us. So, but yeah, no lead safe, I guess, is what you would say.
Yeah, it's been interesting sometimes when we see some of these comebacks and what have you. And, and again, you know, for you, I'm sure you also try not to look ahead too far on the schedule. You got one game tonight, you're looking at that. But I also imagine that, at least for game plans, right, like you know who you're playing, at least preliminarily, you probably have at least a rough draft of, well, this is what we're going to have to do against this team when we get to this.
Yeah, we have rough drafts from years. When coaches have been in the league for so long, people don't change a lot. You know, they go with what works. So, yes and no. Like I said, it's such a grind of a league that you got to focus on today. I've got to win Tuesday. So, as long as you keep winning that, then good things will happen in the end.
Yeah. Well, another thing, too, that people might not know if they've ever played the game, made me think of what happens at halftime, aside from, you know, to have a little rest here, catch your breath. But I'm sure, you know, sometimes even before the half ends, you're thinking, well, I know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, sometimes at halftime you think about it. These guys may be able to tell a little more ago what happens on a halftime. I'm usually in the office trying to figure out what the heck we're going to do in the second half. But you guys can talk on that. You want to talk on what happens at halftime, Terry?
A lot of quietness. Telling people to keep their heads up if we're down. When you come out of the locker room, it's 0-0, no matter what the score is. You can't just let go of on the pedal down all the way 24/7. Communicate about certain things that we might have miscommunicated with either Coach Bo or whatever position coach you have, and then you just chill for a little bit, and then usually by the time we're at that point, it's time to head back out.
All right, excellent. Nothing wrong with that, right? Yeah. It probably... You know, some other times where you're kind of quiet if you're down, but if they're up, you're probably reminding them, okay, that was a good, you know, first half. There's some things we have to work on, and by the way, the game's not over yet.
No, it's always good when you're winning a halftime, though.
Yeah. Sometimes I think when we watch games, you know, we kind of think, I would not want to be in that locker room.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I don't want to either.
Another thing also that could be a variable that you maybe didn't expect, some games you played over the years or coached over the years, and, you know, your game plan goes out the window because maybe it's pouring rain, right?
Our game plan gets better when it's pouring rain.
Yeah.
But in the end, yeah, sometimes not. Weather really doesn't affect us in the way that a lot of other schools are affected by weather. The heat has honestly affected more schools this year because we haven't had any rain, and it's affected practices and affected plans with some guys playing both ways. So, yeah, the heat has been a big thing.
I could see where it would be. I could see where you'd almost rather play in the cold, right? Because it's easier to warm up. You know?
Somewhere in between would be nice.
Well, we've been, I don't know about you guys, I've been hoping for some more reasonable weather for the last couple of months, and it's rarely been here.
Yeah, it has. It's been super hot all 4 weeks. It makes tough practice as well, especially for these big guys, you know. But we grind through it, and we get plenty of water, but we grind through it.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And again, you know, as they say, for people, if they want to come out and talk about that, when kickoff are, they can get tickets. They can see the Hall of Fame ceremony, because like I said, it's a big Friday.
Yeah, big Friday. We need to get back on the winning track. Game starts at 7. You can buy tickets on the school website, All online sales through home tickets. There's always plenty of room, always plenty of area to make loud noises. So.
Okay. And the more they can do it, the happier you are, right?
Yeah, that's good. Heck yeah.
All right, I want to thank you guys for coming on. Good luck to all of you guys in the future of the rest of your senior year. And please stay awake. And again, Friday night, Riders versus Titans, right?
Yep, for sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back and switch gears. We're going to talk wrestling. That's coming up next as we continue. It is Back to School here at 96.7. No way.
When you buy your next vehicle, think Buds. Hi, I'm Matt Hamilton with Buds Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Salina. When you buy a vehicle from Buds, you'll have the peace of mind knowing you'll always receive the best service, the best follow-up, and the best deal. We carry a large selection of trucks, cars, vans, and SUVs, both new and used. Buds Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on South Main Street in Salina, under the huge American flag. Visit us online or on your smartphone at budschrysler.com.
Hey, what are you doing up on the step stool?
About to clean these light fixtures. The whole family's coming over. And if there's even a speck of dust in the house, my abuela will find it.
Here, I got a Swiffer duster to help with that.
A Swiffer what?
A Swiffer duster. It has this cool extendable handle that reaches 6 feet to get high and low, with fluffy dusters that easily trap and lock dust.
So, no more step stool?
No more step stool.
Easily trap and lock dust from hard-to-reach places with the Swiffer duster. Love it or your money back.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all of that. We find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F-word. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
They come here illegally, crossing our southern border. Then Sherrod Brown rolls out the welcome mat for them here in Ohio. Brown voted to give amnesty to 11 million illegal immigrants, including those convicted of crimes like drunk driving, aggravated assault, and child abuse. And Sherrod Brown voted 10 times to protect sanctuary cities in Ohio, which release dangerous illegals back onto the street, making Ohio's neighborhoods less safe. And while we struggle to make ends meet, Sherrod Brown is voting to give illegals taxpayer-funded benefits, like health care for illegals granted amnesty, Social Security, COVID relief checks, even a program to fly Haitian migrants into Ohio airports, all paid for by you, the taxpayer. You think you know Sherrod Brown? Well, after 31 years in Washington, Sherrod Brown's way too liberal for Ohio. American Crossroads paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. AmericanCrossroads.org.
You're in tune with WCSM FM, Salina St. Mary's, where we do it for you.
Time now to take a look at our exclusive radar weather watch forecast brought to you by Osgood Bank.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 83. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 59. A mix of clouds and sun tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 85. Dry with temps above average Thursday and Friday, and highs from the mid-80s to the upper 80s.
Looking to buy, build, or refinance a home? With Osgood State Bank, whether you're a first-time home buyer with little or no down payment, buying a home on acreage, or need cash-out refinancing, they've got you covered. The bankers at Osgood State Bank are fast, friendly, and will service your home loan from start to finish. Osgood State Bank customer service is always just down the road, not halfway around the globe.
Well, currently at the Cooper Farm Studios, a 96.7 The Wave. The barometer is at 30.09 inches. Winds out of the northeast at 7 miles an hour. We do have sunny skies, 84 degrees. The Radar Weather Watch brought to you by Osgood Bank. Let's head back out to St. Mary's. It's Back to School with Kevin Sandler.
Hey, thank you, Clay. Actually, it's back to lunch. That's what we're seeing right now here, as we are right here in the commentary at St. Mary's Memorial High School for Back to School. And am I ever excited to talk to Shane Patterson, girls wrestling coach, Pink, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much for having me.
Let's talk about your background a little bit. Where are you from originally? What got you into education?
I'm originally from the Lima area. I was a 92 graduate of Bath High School. I wrestled in high school. When I got out of college, coached at a few schools. Started coaching wrestling at junior high at Westwood de Salem in 97, 98. Coached here with Coach Gruber. I was his assistant coach for 8 years from 01 through 09. Moved around a little bit coaching. Was a junior high wrestling coach at Bath for a year. Junior high wrestling coach at Westfall, where I was the head football coach for a year there. And then I was the head wrestling coach at Madison Plains before I came back to St. Mary's. So here, there, and everywhere.
Let's also talk about how long, you know, you've had girls wrestling here at St. Mary's. Is that something that pretty much every school has? How common is that in the area?
Well, we were the first program in our area, and last year was the first year that it was an official high school sport for us. So we were excited. It was our inaugural season last year. As far as that, we've had some girls that have wrestled throughout many years. I remember when I coached Coach Gruber back around 08, 09, we had a couple young ladies that were on the program. But it was a, you know, if they wrestled in the boys program, they just wrestled with co-ed. We are now a high school program where we are just girl-only program. So our girls only wrestle against other girls and participate against other young ladies at tournaments. And, you know, there's no co-ed with it. Some of those programs still practice with the boys and do some of those things, but our program is completely separate.
You know, that was going to be my next question is, you know, who your team wrestles against, right? Because you obviously you need to find some schools that have some wrestlers to compete with, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Right now in the state of Ohio, there's just one division for girls wrestling, so we're all Division One in girls wrestling, which is tough because some of those schools that we compete against, you know, the Centervilles and some of them, you know, they have 40, 50 girls on their wrestling team, so they have a much bigger pool to choose from. But our girls did a good job last year doing that. But like I said, you know, just trying to find the tournaments and stuff like that, you know, here, there, and everywhere. Last year we were traveling 3.5 hours away to go to some of the tournaments to try to find good competition. So this year a little easier because we had a little bit more time planning. Our program came about 2 weeks before the season actually started last year. So it was really get into it and just kind of get what we had. So, much better, opportunity this year to plan. So we got some very good, competition that we're looking forward to. Some really good tournaments, get some really good teams.
Also, let's also talk about, you know, what are your team's main goals for this season?
Well, our number one goal is always to improve. You know, we want to get better, not talking necessarily wins and losses. We just want to become better at the sport. We want to become more technical. You know, last year we had a lot of girls that were first-year wrestlers or girls that had wrestled for maybe a year or two or wrestled a couple years ago and then kind of came back to it. So there's some gaps in there with what they know, where they should be. You can definitely see when we go to programs and tournaments where girls have had a greater wrestling program and opportunities at the lower level. They're much more aggressive. They're much more savvy with wrestling. So we want to build our program up to that so it becomes very regular for our girls, you know, to be the toughness, the aggressiveness, but still be able to focus and work on the details to become better wrestlers.
And also talk about how the team prepares for an upcoming season, because that's got to start early, I would think, right?
We tried in the summer. Like I said, we're building our culture, so this is new for our girls. Some of them haven't been part of other programs that work year-round for it. We did have some girls this summer. You know, they attended some camps. We had some that went to some clinics and helped out. We had some that wrestled on clubs. So we tried to offer some open mats in the off-season, too. We ran in with a lot of conflict with other sports, too, you know, trying to share our girls with every other sport, just like they are with us. So we're hoping it becomes more popular and they start to gravitate to us a little bit more.
And are there any key athletes we should be watching this season?
I think we've gotten an exceptional nucleus of girls coming back. We have three seniors returning. We didn't lose any young ladies last year as far as for graduation. So I think there's a couple girls that may or may not come out. They were kind of hesitant whether or not, you know, they're going to turn. But we do return a good core. We had 14 girls last year. I think we'll have a good core of 12 to 15 girls this season as well. So as long as the weight classes fall into the right place, you know, and we can get people in the weight classes, I think we'd be pretty competitive. I said our three seniors, Ava Price, Danielle Hoskins, and Casey Ballinger will be our seniors this year, and we're looking for them all to fill spots. They're all three returning award winners from last season, so we're hoping they come in and help take charge and get our program going where it needs to go.
Well, do you have any major challenges or, you know, strengths of the team for this year?
Yeah, the challenges we always face is one is getting kids out. We are a new program. We don't have a middle school program that feeds into us. It'll probably be a long time before we'll get a program in the middle school. We're trying to build a club program as well to help feed. We had a club program last year that did teach some of the girls stuff, which is wonderful. Our biddy program, girls wrestling and out of it, but eventually something more stable to help pull girls out in those younger ages will help build our program.
We're talking to Shane Patterson, girls wrestling coach here at St. Mary's. And so, you know, when you talk about the idea of having a program, like when you get them as freshmen, obviously it's a program. You're developing them, and certainly maybe by the time they get to those upper grades, there's things you can expect because you've taught them, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Our expectations, you know, last year we were kind of flat level. We didn't know where we were going to be. We didn't know what we had. This year, like I said, all these girls, they wrestled well and they were aggressive, and that was something that was I was surprised, you know, because I wasn't so sure how they would take that physicalness of it. Our young ladies did a wonderful job, and that added to our success. Like I said, add a little bit more fundamentals and a little better, you know, wrestling skills this year. Yeah. I think we can be really excited.
You know what I think would be fun, too, for some people that never wrestled? You know, talk about the rules for a moment, like how this actually works, the moves you can use, moves you cannot use.
Exactly.
Right? Let's hear about that.
Yeah, well, it's aggressive, and you can pretty much twist or turn everything here or there. But, you know, there are a lot of rules with it about returning wrestlers safely to the mat. You know, you can't pick someone up, bring them down. You have to always return them safely to the mat. If not, you can lose points or you could actually be disqualified from the seat. So everything's within reason. You know, full Nelsons, any pressure that is really geared on the neck and the head where there's two hands coming up and under is definitely, and you know, that's not allowable. But you can really crank on the shoulders and things like that quite a bit. It does give the girls an opportunity to, if they have any meanness or aggressiveness, they can get out. They can definitely work it out in the mat.
Yeah, and also I'm sure you teach them certain strategies, right? How to pin, how to avoid getting pinned. What do you do to avoid if you're in a compromising situation? How do you get out of it, right?
Yeah, you know, we have to work the bad as much as we work the good. So we work a lot of things off of our back, trying to fight off of it, trying to bridge and roll out of things, teaching them when to suck their arms down to catch certain things so that way they don't allow a hand to get across the back of the head or the neck to keep the pressure on, hand control, how to break it, how to roll hands out. There is a very there's so much involved in wrestling that I felt like we had to throw so much at them last year, and there's so much more that we haven't even gotten to. So it is a plethora of strategies. We're hoping, you know, when girls go to camps and things like that, that's where they pick up some of those things and those extras that we don't get to cover. You know, those are those opportunities for them to help build that.
Also, I'm sure, you know, there are weight classes, right, of course, things
yes,
like
sir.
That. But on the other hand, also, I'm sure you talked to them about, you know, the – Think about, you know, your strength training, right? Think about your diet and things like that, like, you know, to feed the machine, so to speak. Try to eat healthy. Try to be healthy. It's going to help you, right?
Absolutely. That was probably one of the most probably unique things. The difference between the boys and girls is boys have much easier time. I feel cutting weight.
Yeah, our metabolism.
They're definitely geared to it more. So it was tough for girls to really get into that concept of having to. You have to be much more disciplined about what you eat, when you eat, how often you eat, the things that you're eating. So, you know, to become just a better athlete, that mindset of becoming a better athlete is really big. I thought our girls did really good with that. Our first struggle was we had a 2-day tournament. We had never had one. So for our ladies to go home in the evening, have to ride a bus home, get up in the morning, eat, get ready, make weight in the morning, go back into the tournament and wrestle again on the second day. That was an experience that we had to experience. And like I said, you know, it was something that we learned from.
You also talked about, you know, the rules, how, you know, return your opponent to the mat safely. I'm sure you can speak on this, but you want to beat your opponent. You don't want to hurt your opponent. There's a respect thing there, right?
Absolutely. You're not friends on the mat, but at the end, you know, you're two people working hard. You shake the hands. That's why I like wrestling. You know, it starts with a handshake. It ends with a handshake, regardless of how that outcome was for either person. So it adds dignity to the sport. And a little character to it.
Yeah.
You know, we want our kids to be aggressive. We want them to be mean, but injury is not what we're wanting in any way, shape, or form.
That's for sure. And I think a lot of us, whatever sport we happen to be, you know, watching, you know, sometimes like in football, when they take a knee, it's over, you see players hugging each other and, you know, things like that. You don't see it as much in baseball because you're not in close contact, but basketball, you know, high five, good game, hockey, same thing. I think we as fans like that. We like sports.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's good. Kids see it. It's recognizable, you know, amongst everybody. It makes you feel good. So definitely, you know, like I said, I enjoyed the summer. Like I said, some of our girls, we had some of the Kleina girls coming over and wrestling. You know, that's a big rival over there. So it's nice that they're coming over there. So we're all in the same battle right now. You know, we're trying to build the sport. They just got wrestling as an official sport this summer, so that'll be a program this year. So we want them to be good because we want to get better, and they're close. And so, you know, our friendly ties there are pretty good. So we're hoping, like I said, build and get better.
In addition to that, too, if you're really good, you can wrestle in college, right?
Absolutely. By 2026, I think every there was going to be a Division I girls NCAA championship. It'll be an actual tournament, you know, ran. The college programs are lighting up right now for girls wrestling. You'll see it in almost every probably Big Ten SEC school probably within the next few years as well. So the opportunity for girls to go and wrestle at the next level are very high. If they're wanting to do it, you know, a lot of summer program camps were ran by a lot of these college programs that are looking for recruits. So there's definitely opportunity for them to get that opportunity to go to the next level.
All right. Well, Coach Shane Patterson, thank you for joining us here for Back to School. We greatly appreciate it. And good luck with the season.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
All right. Then a quick break. We're going to switch gears to talk to the FFA here on the Back to School from St. Mary's.
We're speaking with Doug Moran of Moran Refrigeration today about service.
We've always prided ourselves on servicing everything that we sell. I really won't take on a line unless I can do the service on it. That's important. That's something that we can offer that the big box store can't. You know, like I say, we pride ourselves on taking care of our customers after the sale, not just when they come in to buy, but long after. We want them back. We emphasize service.
Moran Refrigeration on South Wayne Street in St. Mary's.
This is Chad Fisher. I'm the lead pastor of Rock City Church. We're launching a brand new location in Grand Lake at St. Mary's Memorial High School on October 6th. And I want to personally invite you to be a part. If you live in the Salina, St. Mary's, or Lima area, or anywhere around Grand Lake, I hope you'll join us for our very first service. It's going to be absolutely incredible. You can learn more at rockcitychurch.tv. We cannot wait to see you there.
The Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, has wide-ranging implications in healthcare, including for seniors with Medicare. With the Medicare annual enrollment period quickly approaching, Karen Deutsch from United Healthcare breaks down what some of these changes might mean for your health and your wallet in 2025.
First, the coverage gap, often called the donut hole, is going away. This means once a member reaches their Medicare Part D out-of-pocket maximum, they'll move straight into the catastrophic phase and pay $0 for their covered prescriptions for the rest of the plan year. Second, the out-of-pocket max is lower than ever. Once a member and their plan have paid a combined total of $2,000 for drugs, including any amount paid toward their deductible, they'll pay nothing for covered prescriptions for the rest of the plan year. Lastly, a new Medicare prescription payment plan means more flexibility for drug payments. This lets members with Part D coverage spread their prescription drug costs into monthly payments over the course of the plan year rather than paying at the pharmacy.
For more information, visit MedicareEducation.com.
Sponsored by United Healthcare.
And thank you so much for joining us here as we are back to school in St. Mary's. We're going to switch gears, and I'll tell you, it's been an interesting day. We've talked to principals. We've done football. We did girls wrestling. Now we're going to get off the mat. We're going to talk to the FFA. And so we're going to begin. We're going to meet Gilbert Mullenkamp, the ag teacher, in a moment. In the meantime, Ellis Thurman, the sophomore, Kelly Imbaugh, the senior, joining us now. Ladies, thanks for coming. Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Let's begin. You know, let's talk with you for a moment, Kelly. How long have you been involved in the FFA?
I've been in FFA for 4 years.
What got you into it? What made you decide to sign up and be a part of it?
Well, ag has always been a part of my life, and my sister was in the FFA and kind of introduced me to it. So when I saw her, like, doing it in high school, I thought that it would be a pretty cool thing to join.
All right. When you look back over the 4 years, what are some of the things you really enjoy?
I really enjoyed how FFA gives you a bunch of opportunities to really involve yourself in the community and the school. There's so many projects and activities that we do for community improvement, and it's just a really fun place to expand your leadership skills.
Excellent. You know, what are some of the, we talk about how you got involved in the community, I mean, were there some projects you did, and also did you get out to do some, like, FFA sales, things like that?
Yeah, so some of the projects, I've done a couple things with the nursing homes to brighten them their days and help them plant flowers. And we've done mug lunch buddies with them. We also have, we call it Ag Day, and it's an activity that we do with the elementary school, the primary school, and we just bring in some animals and talk about agriculture and where they get their food from.
What were some of the animals you brought in?
So I brought in cows and pigs. There's also chickens and sheep and horses, so
right,
they really get to see everything.
That's excellent. You also had talked about, like, the lunch buddy thing. Either one of you can touch that. Tell us what that is. Tell us what that's about.
So during our lunch time in our study hall, we will go to one of the nursing homes in St. Mary's and just eat lunch with them and talk to them and just give them somebody to tell stories to.
I bet that's a lot of fun, though, right?
Yeah.
Like sometimes all you need to make a little one happy is your company, right? For you, can you talk to us about what's next for you after high school? Have you thought about careers, schools, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so after high school, I'm planning on doing something in the ag career. I'm hoping to study animal science and go pre-vet at OSU, most likely, or maybe BG. Just depends how the cards fall.
I would imagine it's perhaps a matter of how far you want to take it, right? You talked about pre-vet, for example. Have you thought about maybe being a veterinarian someday?
Yeah, so I'm hoping to end up with a veterinary degree and maybe coming back to St. Mary's and helping out around here.
You never know, right? And I'm sure it's already been explained to you that that's a big commitment. You're going to be in school for some years to be a veterinarian, right?
Yeah, it's about 8 years.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Good luck with you. And Let's talk, with Emma once again. We talked yesterday, you were in DECA, but we did, kind of throw a little FFA stuff in at the end, but now we can get into this more. Tell us a bit about what you do in the FFA, what you enjoy about it so much.
Well, I recently got on the officer team, so I'm the reporter this year for the officer team, and that's been a lot of fun. I also just finished my passion project, which was supply the teachers, which I had the community donate school supplies for the teachers to use in this upcoming school year. I've helped with Ag Day. I've gone to both national and state conventions, which have been a lot of fun. WLC, which was a Washington leadership conference that was held this summer in Washington, D.C. Soil judging I recently was in.
Sounds like a lot of fun for sure. And you had also talked about how you're the reporter. I got a soft spot for reporters, and a lot of that, I'm sure, is for one thing, you're kind of taking notes, right, on what happens at the meeting, right?
Yes, yeah. I just, at the end of the year, during the year, I make a stat book for this year.
All right. That sounds like it's a lot of fun, actually.
Yep.
All right. Good for you. Appreciate that. I'm going to talk to your teacher here, Dylan Mullenkamp. First of all, thanks for coming. And if you would be so kind, tell us a bit about your background. Where are you from? What got you into education?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually from Indiana. So I'm from Bryant area, Jay County. I graduated from Jay County High School. And then I went on to Purdue University, and I studied agricultural education there. And what really got me excited about education in first grade, I was like, you know what, I want to be a teacher. And I've wanted to be a teacher ever since first grade. And so I kind of wanted to be a history teacher at first. And then when I took my first ag class in high school, I grew up on a farm. We raised turkeys, crops, and cattle. And so when I got to high school and took my first ag class, I was like, why don't I combine my two passions of agriculture and education and go on to become an ag teacher? And so this is my second year here at St. Mary's, and I'm loving it.
Oh, it's kind of neat. You didn't grow up that far away from here at all, obviously, Jay County. But what were you aware of this area of St. Mary's as you were growing up? Like, what attracted you to apply here?
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of those things. I never thought or dreamed that I would teach in Ohio. And it was one of those, I was looking for jobs when I was graduating school, and St. Mary's was open. And so I did a little research on the area, applied, and after my first interview, I fell in love with it here. You know, the school, the community, the people here. I think it's really important to appreciate the people that you work with. And here at St. Mary's, I have an amazing group of coworkers. I have got a great group of students, a great group of officers that I get to work with on the daily. And that's really what attracted me over here, was just the amazing community and school feel here.
One of the things I've always felt about FFA and 4-H, for people who are listening, I mean, they're both great.
Yes.
But we're talking FFA today, mm-hmm. is what a nice jumpstart it gives you for college, right? A lot of the people skills, interview skills you already have, I'm sure a lot of admissions people at various colleges can tell if a student's been in FFA. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, FFA teaches students so many great responsibility, leadership, all these great characteristics, and it really helps build these students to be excellent leaders in the future, whether that's at college or whether that's into the workforce. It helps students climb the ranks once they get employed and, help lead the next generation of this country.
Not to mention you get that nifty jacket.
Yeah, absolutely.
we'll tell Ella and Kelly, it's also a source of pride, like when you're 10 years out of high school, you can still get in that jacket. That's a big source of pride, right?
Yes, absolutely. I've put mine recently, and it's starting to get a little tighter,
but I can still
fit into it right now.
That's what counts,
yes.
Right? And something also, you talk about the friendships you make. I was thinking just traveling, right, the national convention of being in Indianapolis, like we talked about yesterday. And now you're meeting people from all over, right? You're all together, and you all kind of do the same thing, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's such a great opportunity to go to Indy and meet all these people from all 50 states. Ella had the opportunity with three of her classmates to travel to Washington, D.C. and create real connections and real friendships with people from across the country. And I think that's really cool because we never know what we're going to end up doing in the future. I never dreamed of teaching in Ohio, and now some of the other Ohio Ag teachers I remember from when I was in FFA, when they were in FFA. So those relationships are still there, and they carry on into the future. And it's just really cool to, meet those old friends you haven't seen in a while and, you know, become better friends with them again.
And again, how many years have you been doing this now, St. Mary's?
This is my second year.
Second year. So I would think that that first year, you know, when you came in versus now, you got a year under your belt. You're probably a little more relaxed this year, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's a lot. I don't want to say easier. I don't know if it ever gets really easier as you continue to grow and make things better. But I was telling someone the other day, it's a different kind of stress this year. Last year was the stress of, what do I do? How do we do an FFA meeting here? How do we do different activities? And this year it's more of, okay, what are we doing to make it better this year? What can we do to better serve our community and better serve our school?
I was thinking that, when you talk about your first day last year, the bell rings, whatever, here you are, and they're all looking at you like, okay, teach us something, and you're thinking, oh, here we go, right? I mean, that had to be, I'm sure that's quite a moment to get past, right? Like, okay, this is for real, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those, like I said, I've always dreamed of being a teacher, and so last year, when that first bell rang, it was, this is it, this is going to be my life now, and it was really neat. I have eighth grade first period, so I start off with eighth graders, and that's their first year in ag. And, you know, starting off with them and building my way up and through the different classes and everything, it was such a surreal moment, and it was one of those at the end of that day, you know, just reflecting back of like, I did it. I got through my first day, and now I keep going forward. So,
is it hard also sometimes to have to say goodbye, you know, to those seniors, you know them well, and now you know you're not going to have them anymore, but on the other hand, they're going to go off and do their thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I had seven seniors last year that graduated from the FFA program, and it was hard to lose those seven seniors last year, but, you know, I've got one that wants to go into the military, a couple went straight into the workforce, several are at college doing great things, and, you know, and this year I have 14 seniors, and, you know, I get to know them a little better. This is the second year I've had them. And so it'll be a little harder even at banquet when, you know, we go to say goodbye. And then, you know, next year I'll have had them 3 years. And then that relationship just keeps building because not only am I their teacher, but I'm also their FFA advisor. So I go on them with these trips and these overnight events and different things like that. So I think I kind of build a different relationship with them than what other teachers do in the building.
For sure. And as time goes by, just as I'm sure you probably have some teachers you stay in touch with and you appreciate what they did for you over the years. And so will it be with you, right? If that's kind of a circle of a teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I was texting. I actually was fortunate. One of my ag teachers in high school is my cousin. And so I've stayed really close with her. And, you know, whenever I'm having a challenge, I'm like, all right, Mrs. Walters, what can I do in this scenario? What can I do? And so it's just been really cool to continue that relationship. Or even when I see past teachers, they always ask, you know, how's it going? What can I do to help you? And different things like that.
And for you also, because you said you're a Purdue graduate, I always like reminding people of perhaps their most famous alumni. Anybody that's ever had Orville Redenbacher, popcorn,
yep.
Orville went to Purdue, and did he ever, was he ever a giant on the ag scene and changed how we eat popcorn to this day? And he went to your college.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, another notable person was Neil Armstrong.
That's right.
He went to Purdue University as well, so.
I'm telling you, yeah, people, the neat thing is all along the way, wherever he was in his life, people like to say, hey, Neil was here because he was that great.
Yes, he was.
So, no question. And so I would think that, you know, it was probably exciting to get to go to the same school as those guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's like, hey, they did great things. So can you or anyone else. And perhaps that's what school is all about. And perhaps that's what our weeks and our time we spent here, you know, during back to school is all about. And I think there's a lot of things on the wall here in this school that tell the students that, hey, like I saw one that says, you've got a brain, you know, you can make this work. It's all there for you. It's just a matter of how hard are you willing to work, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of that, I'm really happy that here at St. Mary's, FFA is really recognized by our administration, by our school board, by other teachers. You know, we're able to participate in different contests. And, you know, there is days where students are out of class, but every teacher here in this building is so willing to work with these students because they realize and understand the importance that FFA has in these children's lives.
In addition to that, sometimes, too, it's not a bad thing to say, hey, can you explain that again? Hey, I did not understand.
Mm-hmm.
No wrong in that. We don't always learn things the first time we get it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, those opportunities are there for students, and we can, you know, help teach them to be better people, better students, and better leaders.
That's what it's about. I want to thank all of you for being on. Best of luck to you in the future. Doing again. I hope you too is smooth sailing for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and now we're going to kind of take a trip to Costa Rica, if you will. We're going to talk to Jamie Hamilcar next as we continue. We're back to school here in St. Mary's. Stay with us.
This time of the year just gets busier, so take a break and head to CJ's Highmarks in Salina to enjoy the new seasonal favorites. Try the new summer sausage skillet, Caesar salmon wrap, or the Bang Bang shrimp. If you're just thirsty, you can belly up to the bar and grab a lake water cocktail, a pineapple paloma, or a featured mocktail like the Pebbles and Bam Bam or the Strawberry Splash. It's always refreshing this time of the year at CJ's Highmarks in Salina.
Hi, I'm Bryce.
Hi, I'm Brian.
I'm Chelsea.
We are the owners of Johnson Mechanical in Coldwater and now the new owners of Kogie Plumbing and Heating in St. Mary's.
We are the area's only Carrier and Bryant factory authorized dealers.
From heating and cooling to faucets and sewers and everything in between, we're now your go-to for all your HVAC and plumbing needs. Call Johnson Mechanical or Kogie today.
We look forward to serving you.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a colonial with high ceilings, hardwood floors, and a peaceful neighborhood. And you found it. Now, every Saturday at 6 a.m., you get to wake to the sound of your neighbor's leaf blower. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
What's better than one win? Three wins. With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit StraightTalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
I suddenly collapsed. I could hardly breathe. Everything went dark.
I'm going to help you. I'm calling 911.
Thankfully, two wings of light landed on my chest, and I was brought back to life. A stranger, a fearless hero, touched my heart and saved my life. Our hands are wings of life. Learn hands-only CPR. Visit heart.org/CPRheroes.
Over 2.8 million Americans have served in our military since 9/11. Many have returned home with devastating injuries and few resources for them and their families. This is News Correspondent Bob Woodruff. I sustained a life-threatening injury while reporting from Iraq in 2006. The military had my back that day, and they have each other's while serving. It's time we had theirs. Please join us as part of the Got Your Six initiative. To learn more, go to gotyoursix.org using the number 6.
With love I will build a wonderful thing that makes this life better for you and for me.
Shriners Hospitals for Children has been creating wonderful opportunities for children in need. This life-changing medical care helps them do the things they've always dreamed of. To find out more, go to loveshriners.org.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Colorectal cancer patients hear a million things when they are diagnosed.
At least it's a good cancer.
You're strong.
You got this, girl.
You don't look sick.
What are you going to do now?
Then there's what they really need to hear.
The Colorectal Cancer Alliance is a one-stop resource you can trust.
The Alliance is a guide along your path with cancer.
Learn about preventive screening and find support at colorectalcancer.org. Go to the Alliance. Go to colorectalcancer.org.
Welcome. Welcome back here. We're back to school in St. Mary's, and I have with me now Jamie Hamilcar, Spanish teacher, I have Kira Dorstin, a senior, and Sandy Stoops. Really good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
How long have you been teaching Spanish at St. Mary's?
This is my 26th year teaching. So, yeah, 26 years. I've been here my entire career.
Fantastic. You know, I'm sure you could talk about, you know, the fun you have of teaching students. For a lot of them, I mean, you get them all 4 years. How much Spanish can you take? Like, when does it start?
So you can take Spanish for 4 years here at St. Mary's. So I teach Spanish 1 and Spanish 4, and then Jenny, she teaches Spanish 2 and 3. So I usually have, in my Spanish 1 classes, a lot of, about 100 freshmen, sophomores, and then it kind of goes, kind of dwindles as we get in the higher levels. And this year, in my Spanish 4 class, I only have 8 students. So,
excellent.
But it's good. It's a good group of 8.
I was going to say, when you get them in Spanish 1, I imagine there's a lot of beginning stuff, right? These are the words for this. These are the sounds.
Right.
I mean, you're really starting, right? From
right. It's, I always look at it kind of like it's teaching, like, kindergarten all over again to high school kids in a different language. So, yeah, we do all the basics, like numbers, colors, talk about yourself, talk about your family, and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
And I think whether we realize it or not, everybody knows a little Spanish, right?
Right.
Think about it.
Right.
Most of us can count a little bit.
Right. And we have a lot of words that we have in English that are the same, you know, so, or that we've actually adapted into our language and that they're actually Spanish words. So
that's very true. And by the time that they're Spanish 4, it'd be kind of fun to think about what they've learned from you to begin with, and from Jenny from 2 and 3. Now you probably have them doing whole papers and lessons in Spanish, right?
Right. Just today, Kira did a presentation. She had to talk to me all about her family in Spanish. So, yeah. So, yeah, it was good.
Let's talk about Costa Rica. You just went there. How long is that trip, and why do you go?
So I've been organizing trips for my whole career. I mean, I usually go about every 3 years. When I first started out, the teacher that was here before me had planned a trip to Spain. So I just went along on her trip and, just got my feet wet with doing that kind of thing. And I've been doing that every, like I said, about every 3 years since I started. So we used to go to Spain, and then the cost just got too expensive. And it was just a longer trip. It was usually about 12 days. So I kind of looked into other things and decided, you know, Costa Rica would be a really fun place to go. It's a different kind of trip. And when you go to Europe, you go to Spain, you're seeing, like, sightseeing and, you know, going to cathedrals and doing that kind of stuff. Where in Costa Rica, we did a lot more of, like, activities. We did, like, zip lining and horseback riding, and we spent some time at the beach in the small towns. And so, yeah, this past summer we went. I had 43 people that went along. There were 30 students. 10 adults, and then 3 young adults that went.
Let's ask Kira what the trip was like.
Yeah, and let me enter this.
Yeah, share with us. When did you go to Costa Rica, and what were your thoughts on that trip? Enjoy yourself.
Yes, we went to Costa Rica at the end of June. It was about for 10 days, and I really loved it. It was a whole new experience, a whole new culture. It's unlike anything that you see in the United States, and it was very authentic, and I enjoyed seeing all the new nature and trying all the new food.
Let's hear about that food. We got to talk about that, right?
Yeah,
sure,
there
was an authenticity, right? Actually,
yeah,
there, right?
Yeah, yeah. So my dad actually has been to Costa Rica before, and because he has a cousin that lives there, and he always says that you'll always have rice and beans at every meal, and that is not a lie. You have rice and beans at every meal. I try to make it a priority to follow through with that. So I eat rice and beans at almost every meal, and I don't eat meat, so it was a very versatile diet that I could adapt to while I was in Costa Rica, so that was nice. And there's a lot of fresh juices that they make with their fruit, and that was very, very delicious. So, yeah.
Did your ability to speak Spanish, did that come in pretty necessary in Costa Rica? Is there not a lot of English there?
The areas that we went to, they had a lot of English, like, people who did speak English, so they could understand to a certain degree what we were saying. Our tourists, guide makes sure to take us to places where they did accept American money and talk English, so it made it easier for us. I used my Spanish a little bit, but not a whole lot, but I did where I could.
All right. And what attracted you to learn Spanish in the first place?
I would say I didn't want to quite take anything as hard as Latin, but I also want to go around and travel after I graduate, and I think that using Spanish is a really good tool and basic structure to go and travel.
Not to mention, Spanish is cool, isn't it?
Yes.
A great language.
Yes.
And now, here's something that, you know, perhaps Jamie and I didn't have growing up, but, you know, it's the streaming era, right? You can find, right, shows in Spanish, right? Have you done that? Do you understand those?
I read the subtitles, and I can try to catch on to what is happening. So I have utilized what I've learned over the past 4 years to try to understand more Spanish-speaking places. Yeah. So,
there's so many resources out there where you can try to learn some stuff on your own or experience the culture on your own that we just we didn't have your stuff.
I agree.
Good for you.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate that. I want to talk with Jamie one more time. You know, we talk about how practical it is, you know, to know Spanish, right?
Mm-hmm.
How popular the language is in the United States, how you could probably get a job somewhere, even just as an interpreter, or where, you know, things where a person with your, you know, ability to speak Spanish is very useful.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities for people that speak Spanish, not only like in education, like I'm in education, but like nurses and doctors are, and not as much as necessarily in this area, but when you go out and around the United States, you're going to find a lot of Spanish speaking people in big cities. So having that, like, in hospitals, in the business sector, definitely, you know, even in, like in, like, public service, things like that, you know, police officers, there's all kinds of ways that you can use your Spanish, and it's a necessity all over with the amount of Spanish-speaking people coming into our country.
I was going to say, also, I imagine a Spanish-speaking person will be patient with you if they know you're trying. You know, say, hold on a minute. I need a minute here, but they know you're trying. You
Right. And I think that's the important thing. Like, you know, I always tell my students, you know, you just got to try. And, you know, everybody's just happy you're trying. When we were in Costa Rica, and some kids did, you know, they did get to use their Spanish a little bit. But Kira's right. We didn't have to necessarily. We did some, you know, shopping and things like that where you might have been around people that you had to communicate with. And I'm like, you know, just try. They're always willing to listen. The people in Costa Rica, first of all, are super sweet, super nice. And they live off of tourism too, so they were really eager to hear us and help us. And
yeah, and if need be, I mean, there are many apps where you can quickly look up a word if you have to.
Right.
Oh, I'm struggling here. Hold on a minute.
Oh, right. That's,
you know?
Yeah, you're right. That's something we did not have when I was young.
Yeah, no, we did.
Right.
You know, I know, I think back in the day they used to have some of the early, you know, learn at home courses were basically cassettes that they would.
Oh, right, right.
It's not like now at all, really.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of options out there now. They're trying to sell all these things. I mean, I feel like the best way to learn is to get immersed.
Yeah.
You know, go in, go to the countries, and just live and experience, travel. And then also having a background like in high school and college and continuing to do what you can as you get older. But there are a lot more ways now, like these kids can continue it outside of high school with a lot of the social media, a lot of shows and Netflix and We sing a song of the week every week. So through music, they're learning a lot of things, from fluency and pronunciation. And
that's true. How many absolutely wonderful you know, Spanish influenced music that we hear every day. Right. You know. And,
yeah.
Another thing too. You know, you talk about how you can learn stuff at home. I was talking about streaming stuff. Gosh, just about any movie you might own on a Blu-ray probably has a secondary audio channel. You can get some Spanish there if you want.
Oh right, yeah, like. For me, even to increase my fluency and to get better, like out over the summer, I'll take some time and I'll just, if I want to watch Netflix, I'll throw on a Spanish show. It just helps me. It keeps me like, you know, keeps me sharp, and I enjoy that. And they're available, you know, so it's easier to find now.
Now, as someone who never quite got too into, you know, learning another language, when you watch something like that, are you translating it back to English to understand, or you just hear the Spanish and you know what it is?
I'm just listening in Spanish anymore.
Okay.
It used to be when I first started, like it was a lot more difficult, and I would have to kind of stumble around. I feel like the more and more you do it, the easier it gets. And the older I get, the better I get at Spanish. So I keep growing with my...
That's great.
So, yeah.
I remember Steve Martin once said, because the thing was... learning a second language, because they have a different word for everything.
That's true.
And then you look at it that way, okay.
You're right.
You're going to have an amazing vocabulary when you're done, though, right? All the words you're going to know, right?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, and that's the thing, when I went to school to become, I studied Spanish, I only really did it because I thought it was a really neat thing. I wanted to be able to speak another language. I was traveling. I wanted to be a translator. Well,
that didn't quite go that way, but now I'm here at school and I love my job. I mean, this is the spot for me. So
you also talk to your students about the fact that, you know, you're going to learn Spanish, but as you travel around the world, it's not always the same. People, for all that you know, but if you're in a different country, they speak Spanish, may not be what you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there's 21 countries where Spanish is their official language, and every single one of them have, I would say, like a different dialect, a different, some different vocabulary and things that they're using, different phrases that they're saying. I think that's what kind of makes it a little bit more difficult for me as a teacher, because you're trying to teach Spanish as a whole, but there's a lot of different kinds of Spanish that are being spoken, and different dialects. And,
I would imagine any American that goes to England is going to find out really quickly that English is not always the same.
Oh, right. Yeah. And I use that analogy all the time. I'm like, you know, if we travel to England or Australia, they're speaking English, but it might not be the exact same thing. I mean, they might not have the same words that we use for things.
Yeah,
so
sure. I want to thank, both of you, and the appropriate thing to say is gracias.
Yeah, de nada.
Yes.
De nada.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I want to thank all of our guests today as we talked to the primary and intermediate principals. We talked a little football, girls wrestling, the FFA, and talk Spanish. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk middle school, talk principals. The marching band will be here along with the choir, guidance counselor, very important. A high school principal will be here on Wednesday as well. So, again, thank you to everybody for making this a terrific day, too, at St. Mary's School. We're at Memorial High School here in the cafeteria. And I think everybody's had one.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm watching this now. And, again, thank you to Clay Roberts. Thank you to Ashley for all of her help as well. We'll be back tomorrow.